Ok, I want to speak about a very broad topic, and I will suggest a nuanced, partial, new interpretation of the word bittul, which is such an important word if we were only to properly and better understand it. In getting an understanding of what's going on in the bigger picture, everything that we'll speak about should be and could be applied in almost any and every area in our lives. Right? We're going to be speaking about loss, not in a depressing way at all. Actually, loss in a very empowering way. Just as a brief intro, When the Torah records in this week's portion of Ekev that which happened almost 40 years prior, in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu coming down the mountain, breaking the tablets, breaking the luchos, and when Hashem commanded Moshe to carve out a new pair of tablets, which he did, Hashem told him, "And I will write on the new tablets everything that was written on the first set, the ones that you broke." And when you read it, it almost sounds like in Yiddish, a shtech, a dig. God forgave us, so he said, we're moving on, we're making a new set of tablets, God is writing what he has written before. Everyone knows the first ones were broken. It's like completely out of context. I'm going to do what I did to write over again the ones that you broke. And in short, the Rebbe beautifully says that which you broke is not what God is speaking about, what happened in the past, but Hashem is telling Moshe that I'm going to be writing on the second tablets not only all of the information that we had on the first, but I'm also going to be writing in the brokenness that happened by the first. Or let me use the words loss. I want to just focus on that. It's a broader word, perhaps, that there was something magical that we achieve only through loss if we were to understand it that way. So the loss of the first tablets, that loss is written in the second tablets. And what does that mean? Bechlal, we are at the time of the calendar year that we mourned for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash up until Tisha B'Av, and somehow we are told to move on. The least evolved way of moving on is to forget about the loss, because I can't bear to think about the loss. Just get on with life. There is no other way. And we just like disconnect and we leave the past in the past. That's not the way to do it. But there was some sort of transformation that happens if and when a person chooses to understand loss better. And then when you begin to see that loss is a prerequisite for something new to happen, without the loss it could not have happened, then it doesn't diminish the pain of the loss. There is that part which was mourned for, but we all of a sudden, we incorporate in the new the old that was lost. I'm just saying this as a words of an intro to the following big picture conversation. This is a mystical conversation, but it's not mystical at all. The source of it is a mystical description of what happened when God created the world. I'm not focusing only on the physical world at all. In the bigger picture of creation, words, there is the world of chaos, the world of Tohu, and then there is the world of Tikkun, the world of order. I know that the word Tikkun means rectified, but in Kabbalah, chaos and order. And so explains the Arizal that when God created, in the beginning of creation, whatever it is that God was doing, at some point imploded, exploded, It was an implosion. It broke down. There was the breaking of the vessels of Tohu. And then God did it again, second go, and the second go functioned. And we are really living in the second 2.0 creation, but there was something of the first creation that fell into this world. We call them the sparks that we are actually here to elevate. And I want to speak a little bit about this concept, because the words we find in Kabbalah and in Chabad Hasidus, there are many, 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 many essays that go into the depth of what happened, based on the premise that for mankind, when we make a machine, this is common. So you have your idea, you understand how it should work, which is great, and then you actually build it. This is common. And then when you build it, it doesn't work, because there's only that much that we can foresee. So the first prototype doesn't work. The 1.0, even if it works, like with technology, you have all types of viruses that you know, malfunctions. 2.0, oh, that's good. Right, when the flying cars will come out, like, don't buy the 1.0, because normally when man does something, the first go is for sure deficient, and then when you do it again, you keep on getting it better. To some degree, the firstborn is that way. This is just a joke on the side. They are the experiment, and you're the firstborn. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Perfect timing over here, stoking over here. And then, and by the way, if you were to understand it that way, it's a whole new understanding of what is. In other words, let's speak about us as parents. There's nothing wrong with us realizing, if God gave us younger children, that had we only known when we had our earlier children, what we know when we have the younger children, which I think is part of the human condition, unless we really are stubborn and arrogant and we never evolve. Like I wish I knew when I was 30 what I know now. And that's a good thing. Okay. All of that should not apply to God, because Hashem, it's only if we misunderstand God would we apply it to Hashem. Hashem is all-knowing. Hashem is perfect. Hashem does not evolve this way. Doesn't work that way. Hashem doesn't change in a good way, not in our arrogant, stubborn, I'm not changing, I'm holding on to all of my illnesses. No, Hashem is. Hashem was, Hashem is, Hashem will be. So why would, when God was creating, what does it even mean that he created the system and the system malfunctioned? Like, what did God not know? Why couldn't God, lechatchila, at the outset, use the system that functioned? Chassidus mamish goes into a whole world. This is a whole world. And by the way, this is theoretical, but I really want to impress upon whoever is listening that this is so practical, even though we're going to speak vague, none of this is vague at all. Okay. So let's speak about a couple of simple introductions. Introduction number one. Relative to what I'm going to speak about in a moment, which I didn't speak about yet, trusting God is easy. Serving God is easy. The difficulty is relating to God. And if you want to take God out of the picture for a moment, I'm going to just repeat the same thing in between human beings, relative to having a relationship with another, relative to that, being able to trust, being able to be of service is easier. I can be angry at you and still do something that's my duty to do for you. That's easier. I'm not saying easy, it's easier. But having to relate, what do I mean by relating? Simple, the two emotions, having love and having respect. Let's use that. These are simple, not so simple, foundational framings of Chassidus. A relationship means that two entities are going to love and respect each other. That, imagine, doing the right thing is easy. Being in service, relying, being reliable, but actually loving or respecting, that's where the challenge is. Hashem could have created the world in which we would have been able to believe in him, to trust him, to serve him. God did not want that to be the end of it. God, Hashem, wanted for us to be able to relate to Him, to have a relationship with Him, which means to love Him and to have respect of Him. Now, for that, there has to be connection. Without connection, there will be no love and there'll be no respect. It just can't work that way. And when it comes to connecting or to connection, it's difficult. Let me just give the simple words. What makes connection difficult? First of all, like and like connect. Similar, similar collect. Easier. Because we relate to each other. But like and dislike, different, makes it much harder. Right? So when our kids are going out, whether you know it or not, they're going out. And what happens then? So in the beginning, you relate to each other. There's a lot of similarities, right? Same background, same goals. All of these things make, let's say, a shidduch a lot easier because we're similar. And then what happens? You discovered where you're not similar, and that's a challenge. What happens if it's opposite? Then it's impossible. There isn't a greater opposite than God and us. Let's begin with that. There isn't. We're embodied, God is not. Start with that. How do you relate? How do you relate? Even relating to a soul is difficult. At least the neshama that we try to relate to, our parents, our grandparents, they were embodied. We remember them embodied. So there is a point, there is a similarity. You have what to begin with. You have what to work with. What exactly are we working with God? God is infinite, we're finite. That's the problem. That's the problem in creation. In other words, the problem that Kabbalah speaks about in creation, and this isn't just a mystical topic, isn't that God had a hard time creating. No, God could have created in an infinite different way, and they all would have come with the same results. Perfect. But for us to be able to relate with Him before we are the way we are, in the beginning, in the root, God created a world in which God and world connected. Just for people who learn Chassidus and Kabbalah, that's the world of Atzilus. That's the function of the world of Atzilus. A place where God's infinite light, and the mystical words are vessels, came together. Light and vessel are opposites. We can also say that God and creation came together. How did that work? How do you think that would work? Let's make it real by us. When two entities are trying to connect, but they're not alike, what needs to happen for there to be a connection?
Minimizing the self.
It has to be that way. So the key of connecting opposites is bittul. And there are so many different ways of translating the word bittul, but let's begin with your word, Simon, that one party has to remove themselves. They have to minimize themselves. They have to humble themselves. They have to put the self aside. They have to give up their ego. And there, I'm sure there are a thousand other different expressions that all are trying to show us, yeah, that if two things are opposites, how will you resolve it? If the goal is for them to connect, one has to give. And the giving up of self is what we will call bittul. I'm going to from now on use the word loss because I want to bring it to the world of loss. One of the two must lose some of itself or perhaps all of itself. Now, between people, losing oneself the wrong way is horrible. So don't apply this the wrong way. I can't help a person if they're using these ideas the wrong way. I cannot help myself either. We have to be careful. But the ideas are very, very powerful. So what happened in the world of Atzilus when the light and the vessel got together and there was bittul? There are two options of having bittul. And both of them happened. one of them needed to happen and it stopped working, it imploded, for the second option to be able to come to be, and that is the world that is called a fixed, organized reality that we are all striving to live in. The reality that doesn't work is called a chaotic reality, the world of chaos, the world of tikkun. So first of all, before Atzilus, which one has to have bittul? Oh, not me, my spouse. Like, which one has to have bittul? There's no rule. One of them have to have bittul. But understand the following, that the one that will not have bittul will enforce its character traits on the other. So let's say if you want to bring together health and illness, well, if illness has the bittul, then health will dominate, which sounds kind of good. It can go the other way around. Health can become bittul to illness, and then illness will prevail. No one is demanding bittul at any party. When God created the world, God created the world in a way where the world, where the keli became bittul to God, which is, thank God for us, we're lucky that way. So we relate to God, not because God is bittul to us, the way many people would like. I have my plan, I have my goals, and God, why can't you just give in to what I want? No. It never worked that way, and it never will. There is a place for prayer, there is a place for a bracha of a tzaddik, but not in this conversation. When we speak about God relating to the world, the way the systems too, prototype one, toihu, prototype two, tikkun, both systems were predicated on the world or on the vessels becoming bottled to God, thank God. That allowed the world to have the potential of becoming godly. Because when we are bottled to God, we can become godly. Great. So far, so good. So let's speak about, just apply this to a relationship that you know of where there is a clash, where there's similarity, there's nothing to work on. That's great. Good for you. And where there is a clash, one party has to give in. And so we say, well, if it works, it works. Like, if you're thinking selfishly, well, if my spouse is just bittul in that area, then everything in my marriage will be great. Even if that will be the case, that let the other one be bittul, there are two very different types of bittul. And this idea, my friends, is gold. Mamish gold. It can change your life, this. Even when the world is bittul to God, there are two different types of bittul, and one could result in chaos, or maybe ultimately will create chaos, and one will function. Even when the world is bittul. Why would the world be bittul to God? How does that happen? Why is one party bittul to the other? How does that happen? I'm not talking about a party being bullied into bittul. I'm talking about a good bittul. Let's speak about God. Why would we be bittul to God?
Because there's a desire for the connection, even if we're different.
Okay.
Like it's a magnet, it's like a force that eventually...
But why should I be the one being bittul? Why shouldn't God be bittul to me?
He created us.
Because he's greater than me. Okay, and therefore? Let me speak about feelings, not about ideas. What inspires you to be bittul to someone else?
Respect.
Okay, respect. So someone that is in your universe has some quality that you see, that you respect, I would go on to say that it should be a quality where the other has that more than you, for there to be bittul, like an acknowledgement that is ahead of me. I want to learn from that. That's the teacher, I'm the student. And the greater the other in that area, then the more I will be inspired to have bittul. That's a fact. That is the bittul of the world of toyu. When I was learning this, I was saying, wow, this is great. Why is that the bittul of the world of Toihu? Ultimately, it will not work this. Because the bittul did not come from me. The bittul really came from the greatness of the other. From the greatness of the other. Which is a good thing. We're speaking good. We're not speaking about the other forcing. Whether it's respect or whether it's love. The example that Chassidus gives for love is that if someone is very kind to you, like they, it's called love bombing, like they give you way beyond what you know you deserve, and constantly, you become so overwhelmed. I want to use the word overwhelmed because we're speaking about bittul. There's grateful. Bittul is like I don't exist. You lose the I because
you're nullified.
I'm nullified because I'm not worthy of this. I'm good, but not like that. It is completely beyond the greater the goodness bestowed upon me. When God bestows goodness, it could, not always, it could create a reciprocal feeling of the recipient of I'm bottom. And that's a description of the love as an example that Avraham Avinu had to God. And you know what that bittul did? So first of all, he became so aware of things the way they are. You know, don't think that God did to Avraham what he's not doing to me. God is doing to me the same kindness. I just don't see it the way he saw it. He became so aware of the love of God. Like we exist because of God. We're breathing because of God. Not because he had a better life. But he understood things the way they are so well that first he became, Avraham Avinu says that I am dust and ashes in front of God. He felt, he lost himself. And then from there, he became the kindest, the most generous person that ever walked on earth. Because he connected to God with real bittul. But what inspired bittul? Giving, God's giving. So that relate, now he related to God. Now there was a connection. Even though he's saying, I'm dust, I'm nothing, and God is everything, but we're connected because he became bottle. He didn't get in the way of himself. And then he mirrored God's love by becoming the most loving person that ever lived and the most giving person. Everything. He gave beyond whatever person, what the other might have deserved because he felt himself the same way. He says, I'm not deserving of all the kindness of God. But that's the system. It went from God's giving, him aware of it, him reacting with bittul, which makes sense because he knew that the giving is beyond him. It's not him, it's God. And then from there, he mirrored God's love to the world. Now, you can say that's gewaldic. What's wrong with that? There's nothing. And by the way, same thing with respect. In any emotion, that if a person it has the merit of being in the presence. I can say by the Rebbe, personally, I think by the, depends which chassid, for whatever. My experience for sure was more respect than love. Like such, like wow. Like looking at the Rebbe's lifestyle, the humility and the dedication to everyone. Like a person felt so much gratefulness, but the gratefulness is not what we're talking about. You become bottle. You become bottle out of respect, out of awe. Like it's like awesome. You're looking at something that cannot be. Not a step ahead of you. And that the Rebbe, then there's the love that the Rebbe gave time for us. The Rebbe cared for us. There was respect. There was love. You become bottled.
Reverence.
Reverence. Yeah. Reverence and love. But big feelings, bottle, and then somehow it's not us. We mirror reverence and love towards others. For sure, people that were around the Rebbe had a lot of Avos Yisrael, a lot. Everyone, it happened, but it wasn't their love. It was they became bottle to the Rebbe, and then they just mirrored that attribute because if I'm not me, I'm connected to what's greater than me, then I can channel that which is greater than me. the deficiency of that system, even though it sounds wonderful, and it is wonderful, is that not everyone reacts when they are the recipients of gewaltige kindness with bittel. Not everyone reacts that way. Sooner or later, someone, including me, at some point, instead of us becoming bittel, not grateful, bittel, like, we take it for granted. And this is just the way it is. Not talking about anyone listening, other people. Watch a child that grows up in a very wealthy family. And the sense of entitlement that some of them will have. It's a given. Chassidus uses the words for that is chesed of Avram and the chesed of Yishmael. Yishmael was the recipient of his father's love. What did Yishmael feel? By the way, Yishmael was a very loving person. He was not bottled to Avram. Because it was a given. He took it for granted. He lost the bittel. He was appreciative. He wasn't bottled. He wasn't overwhelmed. He didn't see himself being unworthy. I'm worthy. Why would my father give it to him if not that me being worthy? I'm worthy. They lost the bittel aspect. The moment you lose the bittel aspect, you lost that connection. Now, between human beings, we don't have to lose the connection. I'm not saying that in between people there has to be bittel, but there has to be bittel wherever there were dislike. When people, mechlal, groups get together, it functions easy because we are similar in many areas. It's not that difficult. It shouldn't always have to be difficult. But I'm focusing on those parts of any relationship where we're not alike. And therefore, without something which is bittel, there will not be a connection. There will not be a connection in that area. You can have a person that, it's good enough because we're similar in six areas. So if the other four were not similar, it's just fine. Gesundheit. Or not. It depends. What is it that you're looking for? I'm talking about on those four areas. So if bittel is inspired by the greatness of the superior one, that bittel is not going to be forever lasting. At some point, the recipient, them, or that model in their descendants or in the world, they will not react with bittel. They're going to react with entitlement, or they'll just take it for granted. And we all know these emotions. This is real human experience. So what's the better ideal of bittel? Much harder. The better ideal of bittel is not, the words in Kabbalah is that in the world of Tayu, the Kalim were bittel because they saw the light. They saw the greatness of the light and they became bittel. In the world of Tikkun, you know why the vessels were bittel? Because they saw their own limitation. They saw their own deficiency, not because they were comparing themselves with the light. Or because they experienced their loss. The experience of loss. Loss is worse than limit. Because if I always have a limit and I'm always that way, I don't know of different. It's like telling a person that has an IQ of 100, you know, you're limited. Because there are people that have 120. Okay, I understand that, but I never had that for me to be bottle that I don't. But if I had something and I lose it because it was taken away from me, that's a whole different type of bittel. That's a very difficult bittel. That's a very humbling bittel. That's a pain. This pain with that loss. Like we had the Beis HaMikdash and it was taken from us. It was taken from us. So there is the bittel of God is so kind. God is living amongst us. Wow. Bittel. Or bittel is that I'm lacking. I'm not it. It's a inherent bittel. Wouldn't you want for your spouse to have that? I'm just kidding. We should want for us to have that. And when a person, and what happens when a person lives in loss? with the knowledge that if God were to want, he can fill my loss. If God would want. Not that I have to take something to fill myself, no. To live in my loss, to experience limit, and therefore experience a certain flavor of bittul, not depression, bittul. That person attracts the infinite light of God. When I reach for someone, as a rule, this is just a phenomenon. When I reach for someone, on some level, the other person is being pushed away from me. When I'm focusing on my limit, on my space, on my emptiness, when I focus on my emptiness, that attracts something holy to come and fill it. Most people don't hear these words, and they certainly don't know how to apply that, because it's very difficult. Because by nature, the first thing we did when we were very, very young and we felt emptiness, you know what we did? We put food in our mouths. That's the emotional eating, is that there's an emptiness and I'm filling it with food. And if a person doesn't fill their emptiness with food, we all have such little tolerance to emptiness or to loss, because we come and go from the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is that what do I do about it? The best case scenario, we distract ourselves, which is already horrible, because we don't want to live, we don't want to experience loss. We get distracted. And what do we get distracted with? In most cases, scenario, something that's very unhealthy. Not something sinful. That's even worse. Something unhealthy. What's healthy is to have the internal bittul. And every time, if a person will look in their lives, there's a way of looking at your life. You can make your own narrative. But one narrative that fits all of us, and this is a not happy narrative, but a very healthy narrative, is that to some degree, from when you started out until right now, your life consists of you constantly losing something, or even worse, or even better, something was taken away from you, then something else was taken away from you, then something else was taken away from you. And that's world, that's limit, that's creation. The only being that doesn't have that is God, who is almighty and infinite and everlasting and perfect. That's not us. And the more a person experiences their own inherent bittul, by looking at, it's not that difficult, by looking at our limitations, by looking at our loss. I'll tell you something, when a person looks at a loss that they know they caused, they won't be so bittul. They're going to say, no, now I know what not to do. No, of course I lost that. I did it. Tomorrow I'll do different. The most challenging is when you look at that which you have no control over. When you really acknowledge that you're not God, that I'm not God, that something is taken away from me. And none of this is framed to lead a person to depression. It's just to understand the power of bittul that is not inspired by some great benevolence being bestowed upon us by God. That is the bittul of the world of tohu. And ultimately, it became chaotic. It broke down. There was no bittul. At some point, and when there's no bittul, and it's man and God, the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world. Either man thinks that they're God and they have the right to do whatever they want. It creates chaos. There's a pasuk in the Chumash. It's very insightful, where Moshe Rabbeinu was describing the land of Israel, and he calls it Eretz Harim Ugevaot. It's a land that has mountains and valleys. Mountains and valleys. And the Alter Rebbe, a whole mimer, speaking about the mountain represents man's reaching out to God. Reaching out to God, the way he explains it in this mimer, is man's bittul, because we're reacting to God's benevolence. So we connect to him top inspired, top heavy. God is doing it to me. The valley represents man who is not focusing on anything outside of man. You look in yourself and you see that you're a valley, that you're empty. And the ultimate emptiness is loss. Because if you always were empty of something, you might fantasize that someone else has something that you don't. But you don't experience that. When you have something, right, when the kids go away for school and the house feels empty, that's the greatest emptiness, the right way. And that gets to people, not because the kids are out of the house, in my opinion, at all. Because when the kids are in the house, sometimes they can drive you crazy, not always. But that is tickling, that is awakening a much deeper loss that is so bad or so profound that we don't want to deal with that. So it's much easier to find easy losses that we know won't kill me, because the kids are coming back after summer, for good and bad, so we can focus on something external when it's really not that at all. We just hang the hat on that. And that loss could be viewed as something horrible. And people spend a lot of money. The whole entertainment industry here in Hollywood over here is to fill that emptiness, to fill people up. Versus a person entering into a very deeply humbled state, which makes them worthy of some great light of God that is meant for them to have, but that light cannot get to them because there is no relationship, and as a prerequisite, there has to be loss. And that's why in the model, in idea, we understand that it's just difficult to live that way, that for us to have a third temple, we needed to lose the second temple. Every single loss that we have in our lives, if it's understood correctly, is there for us to come to on our own a much deeper level of bittul, in order for us to have a new relationship with God. And it's only God's infinite light that will fill the loss in a way that it will taka make a person feel the loss was filled. And if you don't experience the loss, then there isn't that level of bittul or space for God's light to come into your life the way it would want to come into your life. And God is patient. A person can have a loss and they can struggle 30, 40 years with it, misunderstanding it, medicating themselves against it, using it to justify depression, using it to justify bad behavior, using it in any wrong way, without actually just living in the loss.
So what living in the loss means?
Living in the loss would mean, when you look at the Jewish calendar, that we just came off of Tisha B'Av, and you ask a question, that last week this time, we were not even eating fleishiks yet. We were in the middle of mourning. What exactly happened? What happened between last week and this week? In truth is, nothing happened. If Mashiach would have come last week, then the answer would have been, oh no, I get it. Mm-hmm. Now we're going ahead and we're having all the delicacies because some, no. What happened was is that we are becoming better acquainted to understand loss and to properly live in the loss of our life. Without trying it to fill it with something that does not belong there. That's very different. we don't have to know, because it's not on us to know. It's on us to face loss the right way. There was the initial reaction that's loaded, and some of it is very good, some of it is very bad. Some of the reaction is anger. Anger comes from entitlement. How dare God take away from my life something that was mine, based on the narrative that what is mine? Who said it's mine? Who determined that it's mine? Just because I think other people have it, which they don't, that's why it's mine. There's a lot of anger connected to loss that comes from a premise that I was wronged. There's a lot that has to be worked through when it comes to loss. And all of it in its root brings us back to Bittul. All of it. The more humble...
Because you come to understanding that it was not yours from the first...
It doesn't make it less painful, but it removes anger. I'm just giving that as one of many, many, many examples. Correct. Because when there is a loss of something that I wrongfully determined that's mine... Then aside of the loss, I'm angry at whoever it is that I think took it from me. That's the chaos that came to from the initial bittul that I had, that I claimed I had, that wow, I was so grateful because you gave it to me. God, I'm bittul to you. If I would be that bittul to you, then I would not be angry that you took it from me. Because it wasn't mine at all. I was unworthy of it. I'm bittul. I'm humble. There is a lot of anxiety that people might experience based on a premise that what's mine is mine. And they are worried that it will be taken away from them. Right? It can be very destabilizing. Versus if I have the better understanding of things, and I have a better understanding of God, and I have a better understanding of myself and of the relationship with God, that when I'm meant to have it, God is giving it to me. No one will take it away from me. If I'm not meant to have it, then I won't have it. And people can apply this in detail to a lot of part of the experience of loss is very healthy. And part of it is very chaotic. And it's chaotic because it's coming from a non-bittul place. And the only way we achieve bittul is not when we are reacting with bittul. Ultimately, reacting will not live long, ultimately. That goes to any emotion. Any reaction that you are having is your admittance that you are not in control. I'm reacting to you, I'm acknowledging I'm not in control, even when it comes to God, and it won't be long lasting. I did not earn it. It's not mine to hold on to, ever. We have to get to where we need to get to on our own, with our own work. So I'm bittul, not because God is great to me, which He is. I'm bittul because I see my limit. I see my deficiency. I see my emptiness. And that makes a person, if they look at it the right way, completely bittul. I think life forces everyone to completely give up their egos. Completely. They give it up, they give it up, they have to give it up. And every time they give up a little piece of it, it's very, they mourn. Yeah, it's a loss. And just when you think you've finished mourning, comes another something, and you have to give up more of the ego. It's all gets lost. And then ultimately God takes away the body. You look at people when they get older, right? We should not be terrified of the process of how things work before Mashiach. Whatever it is that we have is taken away. And the emes is that really what's really happening is that we keep on deepening our relationship with God constantly, and we keep on getting new gifts in our life that we never would have dreamt of a decade prior, ironically. when we get older. If you think it's good now, it's going to be infinitely better. It goes hand in hand. It's not a contradiction. Because the more we give up our ego, the more space we make for God's blessings to come in. So, the Torah is light. God gave us the Torah. He gave us light. He gave us His wisdom. You know what He gave us with the second tablets? Not only did we get God's wisdom, but incorporated in the second tablets is the bittul that we have when we see, when we saw the loss of the first tablets. We actually, we put the broken tablets together with the wholesome tablets. Can you imagine? Because we don't view it as anything negative. If it would have been viewed as something negative, he wouldn't keep it in the Holy of Holies. You know, the Kohen Gadol didn't walk into the Holy of Holies with golden garments. Golden garments, there were golden threads that he wore. When he went into the Holy of Holies, no gold. Why? We learned Rashi. Oh, because we, Aaron HaKohen sinned with the golden calf. We don't want to remind God of the golden calf. And what about the broken tablets? Why did God break the tablets? Because of the golden calf. So if we can't enter the Holy of Holies with golden garments, how can you have the broken tablets in there? The whole year. And that's the answer. Because there's a certain type of loss that is so healthy and so special that without that loss, without that space, we never would have gotten the second tablets, which was much greater than the first. And the loss becomes part of that which is written in the second tablets. And I think ultimately in our lives, that has to become the narrative. Where people, all of us, we have a lot of good, all of us have a lot of challenge, everyone. And when we're younger, we ignore this, we medicate against it. Or if people like being depressed, that's all they look at, you know, the bitter people. They'll tell you how they were victimized. Some people will tell you a story. By the way, the story is true. It's just parts true. And it's everyone's story. How from when they were born until now, only things that were unbelievably bad happened to them. They're special in suffering. They excel in that. Loss and loss and loss and loss. And they were wronged like no one you know. You have this and you have that. And all of us have both. And not to laugh, all of us were hurt. All of us had losses. All of us had blessings. And then we got to figure out how to bring it all together. And to bring it all together, the good and the bad, the light and the dark, God and creation, limit and infinite, all of these things demand bittul. And the teaching that we're trying to share here, which is a maimed this week of the Alter Rebbe, is that bittul itself can be coming from two different places. From the greatness of the light, or from the inherent acknowledgement of us that we're not, that I am not. And the ultimate experience of I am not is loss. Like I mentioned, if I was never smart, even though I know you're smarter than me, but I never felt something, I never lost it. But when a person had it and they lost it, whew. It's very sad to watch an older person, right? When they begin, when they know already, once they lost their mind and they don't even know that, then it's only difficult for the people around them. But it's very painful to watch that phase where
they're aware.
They are aware that they're losing, that they're really losing something that they need. They don't have it anymore. It's like a loss. And the bittul that happens. Remember, my father lost the function of his feet. I remember him struggling with that. And then when he gave it in a very happy way. He had a good tendency with that. But like, that's it. From now on, people have to serve me more. He said his wheelchair. He did the best that he could. But when you go through loss is like, and many people don't know how to deal with that. They don't appreciate the necessity of that. Because if I am what I am, I will never be more. That's very superficial. But the M is, if we want to relate to God, which is not more, God is infinite, how can you relate to God if you are? It doesn't work that way. Don't we? That's what we really, really want. We want to relate to God. There's a problem. We're dissimilar. It's got to be bittul. And from that angle, all of the losses in life are the needed events that inspire a person from within. Not because they're getting something so great. No, the opposite, because this is empty and that's empty. And I know it's empty because I used to feel good about something, about me. And now that was taken away. I used to be confident and now I lost my confidence. It's amazing how younger people, they have a certain type of certainty. And when people get older, they lose that, which is a compliment to them. Because it was an arrogant certainty. Like, I know. How funny, right? How younger people know and older people don't know. And how richer is the I don't know. How wiser is the I don't know. And how the people who don't know end up making much better decisions in their lives because they began with bittul. They began with reverence. There was less I. You know, we begin when we're younger. My mission. And then when you get older, it's not my mission, it's God's mission. It's the mission. And how fortunate am I to have a part in the mission, right? Mashiach is not my mission, it's the mission. And everything that we're doing, the older a person gets, you'll hear it. They don't say I as much as a younger person. Why not? Because their I was removed. And because of that, they're relating to God. And because of that, they're more godly. And in any way you want to look at it. And because of that, there's more blessing in their life. More importantly, there's more blessing to the people around them. You'll see how much you're doing now. The less the I, how much more good will come through you. And how humbling that is. Like, wow, how did we have a merit for something to happen, and we had a part in something, it's very humbling. That's the first bittul. It all began with the tikkun, with the rectified bittul. That's the purpose of loss. And that's why we go on in life after a Tisha B'Av, even though things are just as bad as they were a week ago. No Beis HaMikdash. Whatever is dysfunctioning now by us in Israel, not good today. So what should change? At least our understanding or our appreciation of loss and of vacuum and of bittul that I bring upon myself. Not because things are great, because I see what I don't have. I see my limit. I see that I'm stuck. I see that I don't have the solution. It's such a special place to be in. Not I know what to do. I don't know what to do. It's a godly place. It's mamish godly place. And the longer we are held there by God, the more fortunate we are, if that's God's plan, because then we become really bottle. We all have these dilemmas, and it's very frustrating, right? I figured everything out, but this, what do we do? What do we do with the chatufim? I don't know.
So would you daven for clarity?
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But if God chooses to give me clarity tomorrow and not today, I can have an attitude of, God, you're torturing me. Or I must be a big sinner. Something is really wrong with me. For me to be punished, don't say this and don't say that. Don't judge what it is. Just be in this haze. And the more we are in the haze, no doubt, the more bottle we become. The more we feel that we are deserving of the light, the more angry we become. Not the more bottle. The more bottle is, I'm doing what I could, including asking for God, but I want to face, where am I today?
You can come to feeling that that's okay for yourself, but when you see your children struggle, it becomes a harder place.
100%.
To guide them rather than just, you know, you can accept it for, you know what, it's God's will, it didn't happen, it was removed, it was taken away, whatever. But when you see your children going through that, it's a completely different.
Our children will never get guidance from us unless they on their own really, really, not say the words, when they experience that they are at a loss. If they don't have bittul, then I don't care how wise the parents' advice is. It will not be effective. That's why that's a frustration that parents have. It doesn't matter the age of the kids. Mm-hmm. Like we're giving them gold. I'm giving you good advice. Do this and don't do that. And why don't they accept it? Because they did not come on their own first to the conclusion that they really don't know what to do. And then when you say the same chachma, they'll absorb it like a sponge. And you cannot make your children battle. Well, let me word it this way. The ideal bittul you cannot make your children have. So what we do is, in the worst case scenarios, is that we bully them into bittul. It's sad and not so sad. Or we manipulate them with kindness. Let's begin with that. That should be the bad baseline. That was toyum, that you'll be so kind. I'll be so nice to my kids and I'll give them everything. So then when I'll give them a piece of something, a piece of advice, they'll accept it from me. That won't work. Doesn't work. That's exactly this word. That bittul, ultimately, if it doesn't come from within the recipient, it won't work. There's going to be a breakdown. And that's something very difficult for a parent, without doubt. Or for any, when you see someone else like doing something because they are in the dark, and you know, you see, you're not subjective, you're objective, a stranger. And you tell it to them and they don't accept it, it's very frustrating. If you care, if you don't care, if you care. But yeah, but that's the way it works, because there is a disconnect. And you cannot force the connection. You cannot force the connection. The ultimate is that we on our own have to call out to God. And I do believe that if a person is in the dark and they daven, at some point God will give them light. At some point doesn't mean today. Because they're really bottled, because they're really asking of God. And if God would have given us the light on his own, that's the world of toyu. That's the way the Maimer explains. Even if we would have been bottled, the Rebbe told so many people things what to do, they didn't listen. How did it happen? Because they weren't bottled enough. But they'll tell you it's not true. I was bottled. They were bottled the way I'm describing my bittul. Because they were so in awe of the Rebbe, it wasn't that they really, really saw how limited they are. No. They just saw the Rebbe as being so great. That won't be enough. That's not enough. Because I still am. If I still am, I'm not going to connect. Really connect. Where we're dissimilar. Where we're similar, not the whole time. Then when things are good, things are good. We have the same interest. Yishkoyach. But godliness and humanity naturally don't share all of the same interests. That's where there's a conflict. God has one purpose and I have my own purpose. I'm human. I want to have a good steak. That's not on God's agenda. So we got a conflict there. Just as an example. Every mountain represents us reacting to God's kindness. We become kind, big. But the ultimate is the valley. The crevice in the ground. When we become a crevice, then God fills it up. And if God didn't yet fill it up, that means I am not yet a crevice enough. And whatever it takes, and it's not up to me, it's not of my doing. We have to get into that place. I mean, easy to say. I can say these words. I lived with these words. I'm saying to experience that it's God. My life is God's life. It's God's world. It's God's life. And I'm here to be in service of God. And as a chassid, I want to be in service of the Rebbe. To experience that is gewaldic. Really, it's godly. It's godly. And whether you saw a person that way or not, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If you needed to see, God showed you such a person. If you never saw such a person, that's a vote of confidence that God has with you, that you don't have to see it, that you can be that. And we're all becoming that by default, because there's so much loss, there's so much darkness, there's so much questions. It is. Just we have to face it instead of run away from it. And then in that space, Mashiach is going to come. Amen.
Amen.